Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm joined this afternoon by Sequoia, a fellow monk here at the monastery, who is here to talk with us about one of the great programs we have on offer starting this year, 2012, as part of our Deepening Practice program, the Visiting Monk Program. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, thanks, Jen. Glad to be here to talk about the Visiting Monk Program.
So maybe you could just first start us off with an overview of what it is.
Great. Some people know that we have offered what we have called the Deepening Practice Retreat over the years. And we were looking at that retreat and looking at 2012 being the year of deepening practice and how we would like to apply that to the program, the opportunity that we offer for people to come to the monastery and train for a period of time. And it occurred to us that we would like to expand that program and really give people an opportunity to really explore monastic life, to really deepen their practice, learn a little bit more about the privileged environment, learn a little bit more about being of service. And the Visiting Monk Program came out of that desire.
I wish I'd thought of it, but just the testimonials that we've had over the years from people who have come and made that commitment to stay here for months, because it's really different, isn't it, than coming for, say, a week-long retreat?
It's quite different. I can remember just, you know, the desire I had to come and do that deepening practice retreat, and it just seemed like such an amazing thing to be able to come and be at the monastery for a full month, to just spend that whole time in awareness practice. Yes, it was, and it has continued to be an important part of practice for many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so having it be on offer, as we have for the past number of years, actually, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, where we've offered a month, a given month, sometimes, I think last year it was August, was it? Sometime during the summer. And so offering a month where people who have done a lot of practice with us previously were invited to come and spend the month with us. And then it sounds like with this deepening practice, looking at a whole year of deepening practice, wanting to expand that so that whenever anyone who's drawn to that, because as we say, that's a really big commitment to make to one's practice, to make it easier for people who are ready for that to be able to do it.
That's exactly so. I mean, we have so many people that wanted to do it and, you know, for one reason or another could not come to that 1 month that we offered during the year. And we thought in this way, it does open it up to more people who maybe can't fit their schedule around the traditional summer vacation schedule.
So how would one know if this opportunity is right for them? What kinds of things would they be looking at?
Well, they would be looking at really what their heart calls them to do. You know, that maybe they've spent some time in this practice. They've attended retreats. They've participated in email classes. And that there really, really is a deep desire to deepen their practice and to look at ways to carry that practice with them in their life and out into the world. Especially a lot of folks have been interested in participating as facilitators and, you know, just how can I support practice out in the world? And this is one of the ways for, and not limited to just folks that are interested in that particular way to support practice, but It is there for them.
Mm-hmm. You know what I just saw when you were saying that, in a funny sort of way. So it sounds like a big piece of why this is offered is it's for people who really want to bring more of their lives into practice. And so in an interesting sort of way, what can be required to do that is to step outside of one's life for a period of time and to completely devote yourself to practice in order to be able to then sort of reenter your life, if you will, and see, have insights of ways of how can I bring all of my life into practice.
Yes, it is just this really unique opportunity to step out of the world for a while and to and to be in the monastic environment. And it just provides people with a focus of attention that does, for me at least, it was just really difficult to maintain in the world, you know, with all of its distractions. So to really come here, and the program is designed to take folks through step by step when they come, to give them a period of time when they arrive, what we call maybe a period of discernment, to look at what it is that they want to focus their attention on during the time that they're here, and also and then gradually build on that, and how to, you know, what is the privileged environment, and what, you know, what's the importance of the privileged environment, how do I carry that out into the world, excuse me, and how can I continue in this place of service, continue in this place of heart that I have this experience of at the monastery as I go back into the world.
That's neat. So that period of discernment at the beginning of a person's stay sounds like it gives the ability to have the stay is tailored to that person and that person's particular practice. I imagine the elements, and maybe if you could say a bit about the elements, but the elements will be fairly consistent through the program for each person who comes, but maybe the particular reason a person comes or what they're looking at while they're here or how the it's tailored for them might be particular to that person and what they're where they are and what they're seeing in practice at the time.
Yes, and I think that's just a really important part of the program. We're all at different places in practice, and that's how it will differ a little bit, I think, than the deepening practice program. And there will be fewer people coming at one time. And it really is just like it is monastic training rather than coming on retreat. It is Zen training. And I think that's really a unique offering for folks.
No, it's so true that if we want to really learn something, if we want to have mastery over something, then we need to train in it. And we all know that practice is practice. We must practice it. But it just, I really see as you're laying it out that this month is an opportunity to truly step into an intensive training in how to live a life of Zen, we could say, or live a life in practice, or how does one do that? And so it sounds like there's a process for people who decide to come and do this, that they'll be walked through for a month in the various ways that that happens.
That's true. And I'll just say that I think we've mentioned it on the website now. And if anybody's interested, they can just email us at information@livingcompassion.org. And we would be happy to, you know, let people know the next steps. We do ask that folks have participated in a couple of retreats, participated in the email class, and just really have, I think an important part of the program is just being able to make the commitment to do it. And that's part of the power of the program, too, I think, is just that commitment. I'm going to do this, and, you know, this is important to me. And you know, I am bringing my life into practice.
And I think that prerequisite of having done certain things with the practice ahead of time is so intelligent and kind, really, because it's a huge commitment. And we can say that over and over and over, but it's one thing to sort of know that, and another thing to get here, have 30 days ahead of you of living in an environment that in many, many ways is incredibly supportive. I mean, it supports everything about your heart, and it will be incredibly threatening to conditioning. And so oftentimes, even just in a month, someone will come up against everything that causes them to suffer in their lives, and that can be a lot. So it really does take a level of commitment to be willing to do it.
Sometimes that can come up in a day at the monastery, say nothing of a month. But it's true. It does take that level of commitment. And as you say, Jen, it would be an unkindness to let folks come without that kind of background. You know, we all have a kind of sometimes romantic notion about what monastic life is like or what it would be like to live at the monastery, you know. And it's very good to have a little bit of exposure to that before you actually walk through the gate and to get here and say, oh no, this is not at all like what I expected. So we do our best to prepare people in that way.
Yeah. I think we've done it probably years ago, but as you say that, it occurs to me it would be fun to do a good news update sometime, just having the monks talk about that. What is it to train at the monastery? Because it's really, it's quite an experience. And I do, and I know you would as well, for people who feel called to that, you know, as we're having this conversation, as they see it on the website, to really step into that possibility, if you do feel called to it, because it's quite a way to deepen one's practice. And, you know, it may not be this year that you decide to do it, maybe it's down the road, but when you feel your heart calling for that, it is really quite an amazing way of practicing that I think nothing else quite speaks to. You know, each practice offering has its place, and this one certainly does too, and offers something that I think other things don't offer.
Yes. Definitely, and I just want to say in closing that we are, we're always excited about everything, but, you know, I am excited about this program, and we do love to have people come here and participate in this way, and it enriches our practice, too, and we really look forward to having each individual come and train with us, so. Hope to see you, or many of you, this year at the monastery.
Yeah. That's really just the participation of everyone is such a gift to the whole practice. Anything else, Sequoia, you want to add before we end?
I can't think of anything, Jen. I just really appreciate the opportunity to be here this afternoon and talk about this program, and I think folks will be hearing more about it over time, and it'll just be fun to see, watch where it goes and how it grows and how it expands.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for being with us and talking about it. All right, Michael, we'll pass it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Sequoia. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing really, really well. Thank you. And yourself?
Great. Great. Full of life.
Well, I just spent the day at the monastery, walking all around the monastery, looking at accommodations and being part of our, getting, this is our downtime, right? And so we're getting ready for the next retreat season. It'll start in April, and looking at the accommodations and what we're going to do to spiff them up and support them so that they can support us. And that was fun. And then listening to Jen and Sequoia talk about the visiting monk program that we're all quite excited about. And I thought, you know, this is kind of an amazing practice that we have going here. So there's that program that is free of charge. Now, of course, people are always welcome and invited to donate as much as they possibly can, but there's no charge for that program. And
wow.
It's set up to truly take people in practice where they want to go. I mean, there are workshops, there's a monk mentor, there's guidance, there's, the program that the person sets out for themselves and the support to follow. I mean, it's extraordinary, which, of course, led me to think about the video workshop and the radio show that follows that, and then the email class, and all of those are at no charge. And
yeah.
So looking at what that, really, it's kind of extraordinary that there's all of this support for awareness practice available at no financial charge. So, you know, one of the, as we know, because we're human beings and because we live around human beings, one of the two ways that conditioning gets people about practice is you can't afford it. It costs too much money. And now we have these four three of them start the year, and then one, you can participate at any time that works for you, any month that works for you throughout the year, and there's no charge for it. So that just really takes the props out from under that aspect of of conditioning's conversation. So I really love it, and it makes me happy. You know, when we first started doing practice, that was one of the big things about it for us. It's not charging for practice. And over time, you know, we found that we had to make certain charges, because otherwise, you know, people wouldn't pay, sadly. There are a lot of people who feel like they really have benefited from something enough that they want to take on supporting it. And so, you know, we're just kind of looking at going under because we had way more people who didn't feel a responsibility to keep the practice alive, and so they wouldn't give the money for what they were getting. But we've always tried to keep the prices so low that pretty much anybody who really wanted to participate in practice could find lots of ways to do it. And it feels now like with this new push that we're kind of taking a chance on getting back to more of that original perspective, that that as much of practice as we can manage is available to everyone at no charge, and we just trust that as people benefit from practice, they will support it financially as they can. And so it's pretty exciting times.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And as you mentioned, I'm going to add a couple of reminders.
Mm-hmm.
That is a free live webcast with you, Sherry, A Conversation with the Guide. That's this Sunday, the 29th. And Wednesday, tomorrow, is the last day to register.
Yeah, so we're going to just all of us do a 3-hour workshop together. And again, conditioning can scream and squawk as it will, but there's no charge for that.
Yes, and again, next Tuesday, the special 2-hour open air, that's on the 31st, and that'll be from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's 2 hours.
It's always at no charge for what we do, isn't it, Mike?
I was going to say, yes. Yes. And we invite folks to listen, call in to talk about these new practice opportunities. You have an opportunity to ask questions. It'll be great.
Mm-hmm. And then
they can go to livingcompassion.org for more info about these events and also the free email class with you, Sherry, and that starts next Friday, February 3rd.
Yes.
Wow, next
all
Friday,
about,
that's coming up.
Yeah, exactly. And all of this about deepening practice and bringing more of our lives into practice, and just as the email classes that on recording and listening that we've been doing, you know, it really is time to feel good, and there's just no reason not to. So these are all designed to assist people to get out of the clutches of karmic conditioning and into the light of life, if you will, and feel good.
Great. I'm in.
Good. I suspected you were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Yay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Sherry.
What's going on?
Well, I'm really happy to get on, and I loved the reading for this week's facilitation very much.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to call because tonight I just got really angry and really sad. But I don't even know that I feel that way now, so I don't even know whether it's worth bringing it up again.
Well, Debbie, how about if you say a little bit about the reading and what you liked about it, because there are very likely people who are not participating in that. But in fact, you could say a little bit about what that program is if you wanted to. And
okay.
Yeah, and what you enjoyed about it.
So every week there's a reading from one of your books. And there's a facilitator who starts us with a short meditation to settle down, and then reads the reading, and then invites participants to share their ideas about it and reflects for them what it is they've said. And I'm in a situation where I am the only participant in the group.
Talk about special attention, huh?
Yeah. And I just, you know, this last week's reading was about, I think it was about Rajneesh Osho having, I don't remember if it was 60 or 80 Rolls Royces, and that leaving people to their judgments about it. And it just left me with the feeling that I can have or do absolutely anything I want, as long as, quote unquote, I don't feel special about it, then anything is really possible,
mm-hmm.
and everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was lovely. It was really great.
That all that meaning we assign to everything, all the comparison and judgment, and is that right or is it wrong? Is that a good person? Is that a bad person? Should I? Shouldn't I? That whole process is what holds us in bondage.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if I am just the saint of the world, if I'm doing it out of a place of I have to be this way so that I will be doing it right and be a good person, I'm as much in bondage as if I were the scoundrel of all time.
Right.
Right, there's just as much suffering in it. We think,
right.
Oh well, bad people must suffer more than good people. That's why it's so important for us to be good and them to be bad. But to realize that in that world of duality, we're all suffering in exactly the same way. And in fact, the really crummy part of the whole thing is, it seems like sometimes those bad people don't suffer over the issues as much as us good people.
Right. I think we suffer much more because we're chewing over it so much more.
Yeah.
But I just felt very freeing. Like it's all about identifying or not identifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
so that example.
Just doing the next thing there is to do.
Yes. Instead of getting all twisted up with that second guessing, that ego, over every little thing that happens, that'll cause a lot more suffering. Which I think was Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh's. I never got used to calling him Osho, but you know what I got as the whole lesson of what he was doing. You know, he just had 80 Rolls Royces. It meant nothing to him. But everybody else got so gripped about it. They're just in an agony of suffering over his 80 Rolls Royces. So it's like, so if you have all of this and you're completely neutral about it, are you more free or less free than the person who is determined to be the good, right person and have just the right kind and number of cars, and has an eye on everybody else to make sure that they are following the same set of made-up rules.
Yeah, and it, you know, it just also made me feel like if there's something, you know, that I want to do in my life, and it if I don't get all complicated about it and just take steps, you know, I can have that. I can do that. I can have that. I can be that. No problem. You know, just as long as it's not me getting all wrapped up in it or thinking like I did it all myself kind of thing.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Just taking steps like that, every ordinary person who took those steps would get that same result. Anything's possible. It just gave me the sense that anything's possible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And in life, if we frame it this way, in life, everything is possible. In egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, very little is possible. We just get the same thing over and over and over. So we've got to step out of that world of duality into life's flow in order to have the experience that you're talking about. And if in the process we're doing something that's unskillful or whatever, we'll find out. And we can make a choice about whether we want to do that or stop doing that. But to stay on the sidelines listening to ego yammer about all the problems and the difficulties and the fears and anxieties and trepidation, that's where we'll live life, on the sidelines.
Right.
Well, good.
Right.
I think this is far more, I've enjoyed this far more than letting conditioning review anger, don't you think?
Yeah. And I would just say that the only thing I notice consistently is that when my blood sugar level is up, I have the same experience over and over again.
Uh-huh. So you mean by that when your body is has everything it needs to work and you're functioning smoothly, you have one life experience?
Oh, no. No, I mean when my sugar level is up, I don't feel well. I don't
You get a little crazy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which, of course, I suspect is why so many people in this country are addicted to caffeine and sugar and all of the things that digest as sugar, because then we are at maximum messed up and karmic conditioning can do with us as it will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Well,
you are
so welcome. Good night.
Good night.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Debbie. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. This is Gwen in Texas.
Hi.
Let me take you off speakerphone.
Oh, good, because you sound like you're down at the bottom of a hole in Texas.
Well, I usually listen with a speakerphone, and I really did not expect to get on tonight. My stomach is all clenched up now.
Well, here we are. So what should we talk about?
Well, I don't know. It's just so exciting to be talking to you. And hi, Michael. I didn't say hi to you last time I was on. I decided that I would call and have no subject.
Excellent. That's a perfect subject, isn't it?
My conditioning was saying, you need to make a list. You need to know what you're going to talk about. And I went, nope.
Uh-huh. Nope.
I am having a real practice moment of being in the moment right this moment.
Yes. So, which is kind of fun, isn't it? The adrenaline is pumping, and there's no conversation or thought about anything other than right here, right now. Right?
That's
this
right.
Is it.
It's like flying a one-person airplane.
Well, so I hate to take you out of the moment, but what's been going on in life and practice?
Well, I'm in Midland, Texas.
Uh-huh. I've been there, and as a matter of fact.
In Midland?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Oh. Yeah. We're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes,
well,
you
we've
are.
We've had really strange weather. We had 10 inches of snow, I guess, two or three weeks ago. But, well, it was right after Christmas, and it was like 60 degrees today. So, and, of course, it was beautiful weather 3 days after the snow. But Midland is a very strange place, not only with weather, the economy, but it's a very conservative place, and it's kind of challenging to be a Zen Buddhist in Midland at times. And I hope if there are any other Midland people out there who are Zen Buddhists who happen to catch this program, to please recognize my name or come up and introduce themselves to me. Sometimes I feel a little isolated, except for my two other friends that I know who live in another town, which is all right.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and I just really enjoy your show. And I listen to the archives all the time. And I've gotten really tickled the other day. I stopped and I went, okay, voices, go away. I love the last cartoon, the Hijacked. But it's so typical after Christmas. And I caught myself the very day I read it doing that very same thing to myself of, oh, well, I need to exercise. Oh, I don't have time right now. Well, I'll do it later. Then later I was going, why didn't you exercise? You had time. I'm going, hey, thanks for the voice buster.
Yes, exactly. Where is, I never know whether it's pronounced breatho or breatho, but I always pronounce it breatho. So I need a little of that right now because they're coming at me from every direction.
The voices are?
Yeah. That when in that situation that you just described, you know, when they're coming at you from left and right, up and down, then you need to just stop, drop, breathe, and tell them to take a hike.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I try to sit down and just sit for 10 minutes and go, okay, let's get back to where we began.
Yes, yeah, and isn't it fabulous to recognize what's going on, to recognize it for what it is, to know that there is a way not to be caught in that, trapped in that, as we were talking about a bit ago, not to need to let it make all sorts of meanings about things, but just to realize, okay, this is what's happening. The voice has got an opening. Here they are. I need to just sit down for 10 minutes and breathe and let this whole thing wash over me and pass away. And get on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Practice is good.
One of this whole experience of getting into the practice and listening to the archives and the whole thing, and it's been a long process, but I work with, I'm a counselor and I work with kids, and I can see in I get so immediate in counseling where I'm literally tied in to this other person, and because I work with kids, they don't always have words for their feelings, so I have to get into their feeling state with them, and sometimes, you know, say, well, is this the way you're feeling? And sometimes the light bulb goes off, and sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes I have to go back and explain what the feeling adjective really is, you know, what does it really mean to be frustrated, you know. And I get so immediate in that, and then they'll start talking, and what I want to say sometimes, those are just the voices talking.
Yes. Could you say that to a child?
Well, I sometimes will ask them, where have you heard that?
Uh-huh.
And why do you think that is a truth for you? And of course I now work with kids that are only 12 and up, and they can understand that vocabulary. Is this a truth for you? And why is it a truth for you? Why does it have to be that way?
Yeah, why do you believe that?
Is there another way you would rather have it be? You know, and to kind of break them out of this rigid belief system that they are incorporating into their lives. And sometimes I come out of a session and I'm like, well, darn, I do the very same thing. You know, I catch myself going, well, it has to be that way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we know where they get it, huh?
Yeah. And I can sometimes hear my mother's voice as I'm saying it.
Yeah. You know, do you do recording and listening practice?
I have. I haven't been lately. I'm glad I got through because it's going to get me re-enthused.
Good. Because, you know, that's one of the places. So I have a grandson. And, you know, when he was 7, 8, 9 years old, he recognized that there were different parts of him who felt different ways and believed different things and had different interests and that sort of thing. And by the time he was, you know, 11 or 12, he would talk about the different voices that were talking to him. And since I do this work, I wasn't worried that he was schizophrenic or something. And so I know that there are a lot of kids who are really much more in touch with the kind of things that we're talking about, the kind of work that we do, than most adults are, because it's been sort of beaten out of most adults. And I just have such a curiosity to know what it would be like for young people, middle school, high school. I don't know about younger, probably depending on the child, they could be a lot younger and really benefit from recording and listening practice, where they just got to that place that you're talking about. You know, what is true for you? You know, can you see that you've been taught to believe that, but it's not true? And what else is a possibility? And, you know, those kinds of basic, you know, you've been given information that's not really yours. You don't have to believe it. What is true for you? It might be temporary, you know, that there are other possibilities for you in your life. How would you prefer it to be if you could be any way you want to be? And what would it be like if you were focused, you know, all of those kinds of issues that we look at, they could certainly be looking at. And to have a mentoring voice, you know, that access to that wisdom and compassion inside of them to turn to, so that they don't have to leave authenticity as completely as most of us felt compelled to do. I think there's such possibility in that.
I agree. I think most of the kids, up until they are like really young adults, kind of see older people as them anyway.
Yes.
And yeah, the problem comes in, and if they have already subliminally learned the rules that their parents have pushed on them, if those are flawed,
mm-hmm.
you know, if their parent, I won't go into clients, but if they've learned a flawed belief of some sort that makes them unhappy, that's the one that's really hard to work around, because if you try to approach that, unless they are seeing it as a problem, you are attacking them personally, because they see it as their belief. And so that kind of gets kind of tricky. But when I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this kid, and I'm seeing what we talk about in the archives, you know, the conditioning, mm-hmm. the self-hate, the self-talk, mm-hmm. the negative self-talk. The positive self-talk is most of the time really good.
mm-hmm.
Let's encourage that. But get away from the talk at all and get back into the experiencing of life.
Yeah.
And
oh my God, there's the message. You know, mm-hmm. if we could give one another and kids anything, it's like, forget the conversation altogether. Just
yeah, it's not bad
life.
Or good. It just is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I get thrilled sometimes in counseling when I'm actually having a practice awareness situation with another person that's mm-hmm. a direct communication. It's not just meditation, but it's a heart-to-heart.
Yes.
Where we're really talking about doing things to positively change people's lives.
Yeah.
And I hear that in the archives too. So I'm learning a lot from you.
Well, good. Good.
Not just
and,
from me.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. It's really, it's a wonderful thing when our lives are transformed through the practice that we do. And then because we are around other people all the time, there's that chance for our transformation to bring good stuff into other people's lives. So it's we're not just doing it for ourselves. I mean, mm-hmm. yes, us first and foremost, because we're the ones most in need of it and who actually will enjoy it most. But there's also definitely a service element to doing practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I get more than I give.
Oh, yes, always. We always do. Always.
Yeah. I tell my kids, thank you for sharing your life with me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have a feeling they sense that you mean it. And that in itself will open a person's heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got on.
Well, I am glad I got on too. I'm re-inspired.
Yeah, yeah. And without an agenda, we seem to get on through this just fine, just grand.
And I appreciate that. Very quick note. I've started oil painting again. And the other day, I heard an archive, and you were talking to a young lady about painting. It was probably a year or two ago. But I was thinking one of the benefits that I just noticed, because I used to paint 18 years ago, is I'm not having voices when I paint anymore.
Mm.
And I feel like, wow, I just totally skipped about 10 steps there, because I'm looking at my painting and I'm going, I'm having fun. I don't really care what it looks like. And I've had other people tell me, and I believe it because I'm enjoying doing it so much. I've made great strides in getting my artwork to look the way I want it to look. Not that it's quote unquote good by anybody's standards, but by mine. And
yes.
It's just thrilling to sit down and not have the voices go, well, that looks stupid. Well, why did you put that color on there?
Oh, it's everything, isn't it? Because the painting is something you love.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To be able to have something that you love undisturbed, to really be able to have it, what an extraordinary gift that is.
It's pure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. The best. Yeah. Well,
yay.
Thank you.
Thank
we'll talk
you.
Again. All right.
Okay.
Take care out there in Midland, Texas.
Well, thank you, and I will call again even if I don't have anything to say.
There, especially if you don't have anything to say.
All
right,
thank you. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Gwen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to listen to our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Excellent.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Been a while.
How's the weather?
The weather is much improved.
Very
good. We got through our snow and ice and junk, and it's pretty much just little dirty piles by the side of the road now.
Perfect. And how are you?
I'm doing okay, and I'm distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I just said that about half an hour ago, actually, about the both of us. But, I'm doing okay, and I'm distracted. It's funny, I had a massage therapy appointment today, and usually work on my hip, and then I said my back was bugging me a little bit by my shoulder blade, so she gets to work in there, and then basically my entire back, although I didn't actually feel anything other than my shoulder blade, was really bad, and I know that traditionally I tend to hold tension like in my shoulders and stuff, but she worked on my whole back, and it was excruciating, but kind of good to know, too.
Good to realize.
Good to know that
to
because with all that's going on with Lisa, I don't feel particularly stressed out necessarily, but I know it has to be there on some level, and it's in my back, obviously, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not sleeping quite as well as I used to, though nothing terrible, but
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot, huh?
Yeah, it is. And then we got another phone call today. She's due to have surgery on Monday, a lumpectomy, and then they actually want to they saw something else in her other breast that they want to look at, and so maybe there's one in each. We're not sure yet, until we'll find out in the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like a new piece that came in today.
Yeah, yeah, something new every day, huh?
Uh huh. It is.
Yeah. A level of distraction is understandable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. And stress.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which it can sound funny to say, but, of course, conditioning would have us believe that we should just be in a state of perfect equilibrium no matter what's going on,
mm-hmm.
rather than... depending on life circumstances, there can be all kinds of things happening with us. And what we can do with awareness practice is be with the human, whatever is happening. Not hold standards for perfect Zen awareness student behaviors.
Uh-huh, yeah. And that's on one level that resonates all over the place, but being with the human in that, when we spoke over, it would have been 12 weeks ago, I was talking about my back at the time, and you had mentioned, you didn't say go do Pilates, you just mentioned that it had been helpful for you, and I actually went and did it, and I've been seeing a person, and it's really helpful, and I have no other instructor to compare her to, but boy, she's incredibly observant and just, I mean, I'm unfamiliar with all these machines and exercises, but the level of detail that she sees and the way I'm moving and holding myself has been really helpful and fascinating, actually, on many levels.
And you know, that is exactly the kind of person that we're looking for to assist us with anything.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. One of the things that I love best about Pilates is that for me, it's awareness practice with movement. But I do know that without the right trainer or teacher or instructor or whatever, it can just be an opportunity to injure yourself further. Whenever we're with anybody who is in that kind of relationship with us, we want their level of attention and awareness to at least equal ours, preferably exceed ours.
Yes. Yeah, it's, and I would, her certainly does. I mean, I'm is this so funny? Because I'm trying to get in, she'll say something about, does this feel, do you feel a stretch, or do you feel strong? And at first I'm like, I have no idea how to answer that question. And then she'll just, she'll have me change position slightly. And then, oh, well, I feel a stretch there. And just feeling all these different muscles and how they're moving, and it's just really neat. And now, but it's, now it's getting to the point of, it ain't cheap either.
And, yeah. Oh, true. True.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, how can I get the most out of this, and at the same time keep doing it? And you know, I'd love to go 3 days a week for, you know, a year. That's not going to happen.
Right. Well, and that's another really good point about our awareness practice. What we don't do is go to people who are going to assist us in any way and expect them to do it for us, right? So they are assisting us to become more in touch with our bodies, with our mind, spirit, heart, whatever it is that's going on. So kind of shedding a new light on something, but it's our responsibility to make use of that.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, now you know you have tension in your back. And, yeah, sure, it'd be great if we could get a massage morning and night, 7 days a week. Then we could just turn it over to the massage therapist and we wouldn't have to worry about stress.
Yeah.
But, in fact, we can't afford that or don't have time for that or whatever. So now I see where that stress resides in my body. And so I can practice awareness to help the body deal with it. So I can turn my attention to that place in my body. I can practice relaxing those muscles. I can keep my focus on that particular tightness and feel it release. I can watch for the things that go on that I tighten up against. And now I'm making connections for myself. And I'm using the information that I've received to take better care of myself. And that, I think, is an obligation that so many people don't realize we have.
Yes. And yes. And then based on something you said, you know, to Lisa last week about, you know, the way she's, I've listened to it quite a few times, but you said something like the way she's taking care of herself now is, it would be great if we would all take care of ourselves in that way, as opposed to just living for to-do lists, and then the second after you die, no one gives a rat's ass about anything that was on that list.
Yes, precisely.
Yeah.
And depending on how long it takes a person to die, we ourselves lose interest in that list.
Right, right.
You know, yeah. So it's such a scam. And the other piece about that, you know, we can have a big old burly to-do list,
mm-hmm.
and what that list is it can be retitled "Ways That I Participate with Life."
Yes.
And then I can go through that list and I can do what I'm doing with the attitude of mind that I believe life would have me do that with, relaxed, happy, open, excited, expansive, you know, having fun, participating.
Right.
But, of course, when we turn it over to conditioning, then it is a to-do list, and our well-being is based on getting through it, so we have to tense up everything and be miserable and get headaches and backaches and be in pain because I have to do all of that in order to be the right person getting through this list. And the whole thing is just a crock.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was at the monastery in October that I was said something, I just noticed what I built a practice while I was there of, I noticed I was at one point drying the dishes or washing the dishes or whatever. And I was thinking about something else. And then my practice was just saying to myself, all I'm doing is washing the dishes, and just to bring it back to just that one thing that I'm doing at that moment.
Yes, I can feel my feet on the floor. I can feel the water on my hands. I can practice alignment with my spine. I can notice what my hips and my shoulders are doing. I can watch what happens with my abs. I can relax my stomach. I can breathe fully and just have a wonderful practice, physically fit moment of doing the dishes.
You just transported me to the monastery kitchen. Thank you. I was intending to spend the month of February there, and that's not going to be happening at this time, but I'm going to get there in some way and somehow this year.
Good. Soon, we hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Soon, both of you will be spending some time here.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
You are most welcome. Take
all
good
right.
care of yourself.
Oh, we will. Thanks.
All right. Good
hey.
Night.
Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. It's Jodine from San Francisco with a cold.
Oh, Jodine with a cold. That's why I didn't recognize your voice. So,
really, is it that bad?
it's what?
Is it that bad? I couldn't
well,
really
now
tell.
Now that you're talking, I can recognize your voice. But, yeah, so I'll still ask you, so how are you doing?
Okay, let's forget about the cold.
Okay, good. So it's not, that's
I
not
am,
that bad.
Yeah, I'm doing better than I have in a number of months. As you know, I've been feeling difficulties and basically a health issue that had me I had to take a leave of absence from my job and I'm now back at work half time and I'm doing okay. Like, I feel like I'm through the worst of it. But I'm really, I've just been like, it feels like conditioning threw me down on the floor and has been kicking me in the teeth. And I got to this, I'm kind of back up and fighting now, but I got to this place of, like, all I could really do was sit down and like, write out what it was doing to me. Because that was my, that was my daily experience, was not really getting much of a break.
Uh-huh. And so, first of all, I would guess that was a really good technique. Did you feel some relief from what it was doing to you when you were writing it down?
Well, you know what? It's an interesting practice because conditioning was all over that too. Like, what's the point? And then the other thing is that I ended up with a big long list, like, of all the ways it was getting me,
mm-hmm.
and basically I would get really upset when I looked back at that list
because
I'd get identified.
I see.
Like one of the one of the things. Oh, here's. One of the things that I wrote was so I've turned this into an audio track called Don't Believe Conditioning. So one of the things that it said, it almost got me not to call tonight because, and I saw this while I was waiting, it was telling me that I couldn't call because because I have been having such a difficult time, and like it's been winning, and somehow if I were the right person, I wouldn't be having all these difficulties in my life. And so it's like proof that I'm the wrong person because,
oh God,
because life's not working or something. Yeah, I caught on to this right away.
Very good. Very. Now, you made a track. You recorded that, which is excellent, because even writing it down, it can be easy to lose sight of what a pack of lies that is. But
yeah.
I would guess that it's harder when you, if you framed it that way, but, you know, these are lies, self-hate tells, that having things go, being sick, basically, having a health issue means you're the wrong person. You know, that
yeah.
hopefully once it gets outside your head and you hear that reflected back, that would there'd be the ability to see that that wasn't true.
Well, I moved into that, and what I found is that I really need to say right after whatever it's telling me, or actually that's not quite the form I wrote it in, like, but right after what it wants me to believe. So I have this list of like what it wants me to believe about myself and my life, and.
Uh-huh.
And when I say what it wants me to believe, I have to come right after that with the truth is something different.
Yes, that's a lie.
Yeah.
And the truth is, and whatever that is for you. Yeah. And, of course, that's good news in two directions, because you can't do that and be identified. Right? You can't call conditioning's messages a lie or come up with what you know to be true for yourself and be completely identified. So that's good right there. Right?
Yeah.
And then you, of course, when you listen to it, you get that extra distance and opportunity to hear it rather than the saying it.
Yeah, and today I put it, I'm having a lot of emotions. Today, when I was at work, I put it on repeat. I just put it on a loop and kept it going. I'm working half days now, mostly the whole time.
And so, and you listen to it all day?
Well, I work, you know, half a day right now. So, yeah, because of my work, I can basically listen the entire time I'm working.
Very good. That's very good.
But,
that's very helpful.
Yeah, and somehow I need to have it, or whatever, right now I need to have it on a loop.
Yeah. Just, well, and I would say not just when you're at work. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You need to have it on a loop all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it feels like it's really reaching in. It's such a karmic thing for me. Because even though I don't believe it, my doctors are seeing this health issue, the relapse of bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
The karma of that in my life has just been so thick and so, I don't know. It's just really dense karma for me. And like, on one hand, I feel like I'm going crazy. And on the other hand, I'm trying to convince a psychiatrist that I'm not going crazy. And somehow, there's just, I don't know. I've been identified with someone who's just worn out.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know my opinion about that. And it kind of actually goes with what I was talking about with Chris, that, you know, you have to be responsible for you. You don't need to be convincing somebody else about what's going on with you. You need to be an expert about what's going on with you. And that requires a level of paying attention that conditioning really despises and resists and attempts to get us not to do, so that we stay stuck in these places where other people are assessing our lives. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I just have a very, well, I'm sure I have an unusual perspective on most things. However, I think anybody who steps back just a little will be able to see pretty quickly that there's nobody else who's going to be able to be an expert on your life other than you. I don't care how long they went to school. I don't care how many initials they have after their name. I don't care what their experience of their own life is. They can suggest something for you. They can point the way. They can tell you what works for them. They can make suggestions of places for you to try. But they cannot be an expert on your life. They cannot tell you what your experience is, what's true for you, what you need. They can't. And the thing that I think that's really important for people to keep in mind is, if an expert is wrong about your life, the consequences to that expert are very
nothing.
Minimal. That's right. But the consequences for you are huge. So people want to listen to karmic conditioning because we've been taught to be afraid and that we can't and that we're inadequate and all of these other things. And over and over and over, I watch people put their lives in the hands of experts who then disappoint them, because it doesn't work. If it worked out well, it's simply because it worked out well. <It's> not, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So today, you know, we're looking at buildings at the monastery, and you know, it's really true that if we put that roof back together, it probably has a better chance of making it through the winter. But you know what? It's not a guarantee. Now, all of my years of carpentry and building and that sort of thing tell me that if we do this, that, and that, we've really increased our odds of this working. But am I going to say, and in June, we're going to have this building the way it is, you know, after we fix it? No, because anything can happen. And I don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, that's just my best encouragement. Why fight with people? Hear their opinion. You're open to their opinion. You listen to what they say. You look to see if that fits with your experience. But you're the one who has to take responsibility for your well-being.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I have learned that the hard way.
Yeah, and the other expert, of course, the first expert to throw out of your life is the voice in your head.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first one to dislodge. And, of course, usually for most people, that's the one who's talking to the external experts. And I'm not talking about looking to conditioned mind as an expert. Quite the opposite. You know, the only thing that is really going to support us and care for us in the way that we need is life. And it's opening ourselves to the guidance of life that gives us every opportunity for freedom and the happiness that life can bring to us. So it's dropping all of that and getting here, heart open, all the receptors open for intuition and insight and clarity and awareness. And in the case like you're describing, buckle that seatbelt onto that Zafu and know that you're going to ride it through.
Yeah. Well, I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And is it hard? Yep. Can you do it? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the, you know, a lot of my past history with this happened when I was young, like really young in my 20s, with absolutely no perspective like the one that you're saying available to me.
Yep.
And I think one of the things that's come out of this particular experience was that I stood up and I said no to a psychiatrist. And he was like, okay, that's your opinion, and I'm not going to do that. And you know, who knows? I mean, maybe that was really important for my healing. When I look back on this, I'm going to say, like, yeah, that was really important for my healing or something.
Yes. Yes. And it's not an across the board. You want to take advantage of every support that you can find. You know, I'll listen to anybody because the chances are just about everybody, you know, we've talked about this. You know, if everybody who's in my life is in my life because there is some sort of benefit, gift, assistance that is coming to me as a result of that, or they wouldn't be here, wouldn't be in my sphere. But that's not the same as, and so I'm going to make you the authority on my life, and I'm going to let karmic conditioning decide what it is that you're saying to me and make all sorts of decisions, which I'm then going to blame you for, credit you for, whatever. I'm going to come back to center. I'm going to get as still and attentive as I can, and I'm going to open myself to what life is guiding me toward, and I'm going to pay really close attention, and I'm just going to learn a ton.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and then once I've learned
the classroom.
It, once I've learned it, I'm going to throw it out immediately, else I run the risk of becoming the kind of expert who is not helpful to have in my life.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. That was powerful, Sherry.
Whew. Life is big, isn't it, Michael?
Life is big.
Mm-hmm.
Life is big.
And we're ready for it.
Yes, we're ready, and it's a big blessing.
It is. Yeah, it is. Well, you have a lovely rest of your evening, and we'll talk next week. Is next week our big show?
Next week is our big show. And before that, as you know, the free live webcast this Sunday, and tomorrow is the last day to sign up.
I'm going to sign up.
Okay, good.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Michael.
Great. Thank you, Sherry.
Bye.
Bye.